Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thanks very much for joining me. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the content of the photo and how it was construed and represented by social media audiences?
So I think most people would have seen it. As you mentioned in the introduction, the idea that after the horrendous attack, that a woman happens to be in a headscarf, a passerby, photographer pictured her passing by, and obviously people took that to mean that she was not concerned, that she did not have empathy for the injured because she was passing by an injured person, and cast so much judgment upon not just her, but, you know, the Muslim religion once again, and basically vilified her as being a person who supports terrorism, which the conclusions, how people drew those conclusions were really alien to how people did that when we saw so many images. One, we didn't take into consideration what she was going through. We didn't know anything about what she was going through. Obviously, she was contacting her family members. Obviously, she looked distressed. Even the photographer that came out afterwards said she was very distressed. How could anyone come to these conclusions? But yet again, we saw so many other passers-by, and we didn't say anything about them. So to me, what does this say about the audience? What does this say about the world? What does it say about social media and keyboard warriors? What does it say about people's perceptions about the religion of Islam now, where we can't even have a distressed Muslim walking past an injured person without casting judgments upon them? This is really interesting what it says about the global climate at the moment.
Well, that's right. It's fascinating because there were so many other photos of, you know, Caucasian people and people of other, you know, whatever backgrounds, all passing by people on the ground, and no one seemed to say anything about that. And it seems like a wild conclusion to draw. Now, would you say this is fairly standard for the community response after we see a terrorist attack?
I think the standard that we're seeing is that people jump to conclusions straight away. So, for example, we saw what Pauline Hanson did. We saw she wasn't even interested in the victims that died on that day. She went straight into her own campaign and did a hashtag for pray for Muslim ban. That's the first thing that she did, which was incredibly inappropriate and offensive. And we also saw that people immediately associated this particular attack with ISIS or with Al-Qaeda or with any other particular organization, when we actually did not know once again about the perpetrator. And as it unfolded, we realized it was a person once again with mental health challenges and was not aligned to any organization per se. So this was not a terrorist attack. He was not aligned to any organization. He was an individual. So we constantly draw these conclusions. We constantly draw these conclusions without sitting back. And the media does that because we are in an era of uninformed media and quick media, and the social media, as I call them, these keyboard warriors, where people do not pay attention, they're not concerned for the victim, and they just use those to justify their own self-promotion. And that's what we're seeing time and time again, and this is the problem that we have with instant, you know, media and people contributing to this conversation, where people don't understand how it's affecting Muslims on the ground. And I think for me, what really concerned me was in that same week, We had the U.S. kill a number of innocent civilians in Syria. We had over 230 civilians that were killed by the U.S. government. And what's real in the same week, and we didn't have any hashtags, we didn't have any uproar, and it makes you question yet again. I think this is what's really sad for me. It makes me question once again, is it because they were Muslims that died? Is that why we're not concerned? Is it the only time that we are concerned when it's a person of white angle background that dies? Isn't every single life sacred? This is, for me, what is incredibly concerning about the current climate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's quite tragic when stories like the one you mentioned don't reach Western media. I know I didn't hear about that until you brought it up just then, because, you know, our news feeds, and that gets swamped with a very, very westernized media with, I guess, a warped perception of exactly who is conducting terror around the world. Now, after the Sydney siege, we did see the hashtag I'll ride with you trend on social media. What can we do to ensure that people don't discriminate collectively on Muslims following terror attacks?
I think the first thing is education. I mean, I feel like we're happy to be following trends and just following what the media tells us. We don't educate ourselves. We don't ask about what is terrorism, who is the terrorist. I'll go back to the U.S. once again. The number of innocent civilians killed just this month of March so far by America has already outnumbered the number of civilians killed by both ISIS and the Assad regime in the past 12 months. This is incredible. We don't look at terrorism perpetrated by a government such as the United States. We don't challenge. We don't challenge the norm. We don't educate ourselves. And I think for me, I really just want people to educate themselves, to challenge. Don't completely accept or completely reject. Just challenge and question what we are hearing and what we are receiving. And be aware of our biases. We all have biases. And we are all surrounded by our own circles of friends and communication, and we're all in our little echo chambers, if you want to say. And so it's time to explore what other people are thinking, other people are saying, and be aware of realities that are happening outside our own box.
Yeah. Well, it definitely seems like it's time for people to start having more conversations about these sort of things, which they don't understand. Sarah, before I let you go, you are the director of Benevolence Australia. Are you able to tell us a bit about what you do at Benevolence Australia to combat Islamophobia?
So what we do is exactly what I just mentioned. So we actually come out to schools and we run programs at school called Beads and Burkas. It's really about demystifying the other and having empathy and understanding racism, understanding bullying, understanding what the othering is all about and where this concept comes from and how it's a power play and where the role of media and the role of government plays into this. And we also run programs for the wider community called Understanding Islam. So our role is really about getting out there, about educating the wider community, not from an apologetic perspective, but from a social cohesion perspective. It's not necessarily about Islam. It's all about understanding racism, othering, the powers in play, and really unpacking the more difficult questions and giving people the opportunity to ask those questions. So that's what we do.
That sounds like wonderful work. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me this morning to give a little bit of an in-depth perspective. It's fantastic to have you join me.
Thank you.
Good luck with all your work in the future.
Thank you so much.